south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
So then what do you guys and gals living up in the States, especially on the border states, how are you dealing with the mass influx of illegals? Seems like more than ever before, I'm talking to regular Latinos down here, and they've all got friends and relatives thinking about or who are already in transit, ultimately going through Mexico because they're all hearing that the border's wide open in the U.S. I'm hearing it is too. And down here in Latin America, when you look at TV and social media, you see all kinds of pictures and videos of hordes of people just walking across. No rush, no hurry, with cops and authorities just standing there doing nothing. Oh, and all kinds of do-gooders and NGOs with their matching t-shirts, passing out food, water, and care packages. Isn't that nice? I'm telling you, every Latin American I know is thinking the door's wide open, so why not just come right in? Or at least give it a try. All I've got to say is if you're living up in the States, the clock is ticking, man, you guys are screwed. Like expat Eddie once said. You pour yourself a nice glass of wine, an expensive, nice, high-end wine that's been aging for a couple of years. It took a lot of work, effort, and time to get the quality of it up there, so that it's head and shoulders above all the cheap and crappy wines out there. Nice, huh? Tastes good. Then you try an experiment. You take an eyedropper full of water. You drop one or two drops of water in that wine. You taste it. It's still exactly the same wine, right? You just can't tell the difference. What's one drop of water, let's say, in 10,000 drops of wine. Now, let's try that again. This time, you pour yourself a nice glass of wine. You put it under the faucet and fill it half full of water. Taste it. It's not a nice glass of wine anymore. You've just diluted the crap out of it and destroyed all the positive qualities that took months, even years, to cultivate. Going back to the grapes on the vine that were hand-selected from a certain region, the special oak barrels it's been aged in for years, etc., etc. In other words, years of thought, planning, and work go into a nice bottle of wine. But you could destroy all that in a flash just by carelessly diluting it. In other words, it takes a lot of planning and ingenuity to create something of value and just a little uncontrolled chaos to ruin it. Which brings us to this email that just came in from our favorite boots-on-the-ground listener south of the border and north of Guatemala. Permanent resident in Oaxaca, Mexico, Roberto G. Roberto says, "Hi, Johnny. Greetings from sunny central Oaxaca, Mexico. Basically a continuation of your own Altiplano region in Guatemala, but just a tiny bit northwest of you. Just wondering," he says, "if the Catholic Church in your area, that is Guatemala, is as corrupt as in my region here in Oaxaca, Mexico." He says, "Us expats in our particular kind of self-made gringo bubbles often don't see, or prefer not to notice, the true extent of the local corruption in all its forms. Somehow we just roll with it. Though recently, I got a wake-up call, big time, while investigating the local relief effort to aid the illegal migrants," little Freudian slip there, "on their way to the States looking for a piece of that cracked and deformed so-called American dream. By the way, the number of aspiring border jumpers passing through here has gone up astronomically in just the past 2 to 3 months. How do I know that? Well, I make frequent trips from these mile-high central valleys down to the Oaxacan Pacific coast, and just a few months ago I would pass just a handful of migrants who were heading up north during my six-hour run across the Sierra Range that separates the inland settled valleys from the steamy coast below. But in this past trip, just about 3 weeks ago," he says, "I saw over 100 or more border-jumping migrants as I traversed each way. Most single young guys bound for the great American dream. Hooting and catcalling, by the way, for me to pick them up as I passed. But there are also a fair smattering of obvious families with kids in tow. Anyway, Johnny, there's a small effort here now in our Oaxaca department, the capital, Oaxaca City, to ease the plight of these migrant folks. So apparently, the word has gotten out on the migrant social media sites that it's worth it now to pass through Oaxaca, despite it being easier to cross the Isthmus Corridor to the Texas border the usual way. All right, me, Johnny here. So you're saying, Roberto, that's not the normal route going through Oaxaca on the illegal alien express. You're saying, it seems the word's getting out, at least in the last couple of months anyway, right? That it's less hassle to pass through Oaxaca. And now you're seeing more and more of it firsthand in your own neighborhood. So anyway, Roberto goes on to say, so once I got back home in my own Altiplano region, I was intrigued to go check out the basic nature of the migrant relief scene. My gringo neighbors had been asked by a guy spearheading a Feed the Migrants effort in downtown Oaxaca to pick up some donated food and deliver it to his makeshift relief kitchen. So I tagged along to see what was happening. Well, we picked up the guy and the donated food, and he proceeded to spill the frijoles about how difficult it was to spearhead such an endeavor since groups of local police were shaking down the migrants and stealing their goods. Plus, they had the local street gangs shaking them down, too. That's why he says so many border jumpers are mired here in Oaxaca due to being fleeced of all their resources and can't move on. Everybody seems to be cashing in on the backs of these guys. A strange kind of opportunistic economy, you might say. Even the local bus lines, he says, are charging way above the stated ticket prices. The locals seem to be in a price-gouging orgy of greed. Anyway, he says, I sat quietly in the vehicle as it was obvious the guy we picked up really needed to purge his guts about what was going on, as did my two friends in the front seat. According to the gringo, there's loads of corruption, including Catholic Church corruption. In fact, the guy went into great detail on how the initial relief effort was dealt almost a mortal blow when the Catholic priest in charge cleverly made off with all the funds and then skipped town. Then he said that a mass police action had driven off the migrant squatters from a downtown area, and the only negotiated landing spot for them was a Catholic church ground. But to get that spot, the Catholic priest in charge had to be paid off. Meanwhile, he says, there was a side scam run by two reputedly cold, hard nuns who routinely took the finest donated goods and sold them on the side. I guess it is true. God helps those who help themselves. Then he says, my gringo buddies and I were somewhat startled at the blatant corruption and cold-heartedness of some of the local Catholic functionaries. My question to you, Johnny, is, are you seeing the same thing across the border in Guatemala? It's amazing what greed and selfishness will do. But I guess it's to be expected, given the history of the Catholic Church, especially here in Mexico. Then he says, you know, as gringos living down here, it's easy not to see that stuff. Even guys like me, after a decade living down here, we don't see that stuff because we're cultural outsiders, really. So even after a decade down here, he says, the wife and I consider ourselves only slightly seasoned expats. Anyway, Johnny, keep the faith and vaya con queso. Signed, Roberto, Oaxaca, Mexico. All right, thanks for that, Roberto. You've always got some good stuff to add when you're checking in. But man, are you right. A gringo or expat could live down here in Latin America for a decade or even two or three decades and not have the pulse of what's really happening with the locals or nearby townspeople, because they're not going to tell you. You're really not part of that club. Besides that, gringos and expats, even long-term gringos and expats, don't speak enough Spanish to even check out the local Latin media, get on the websites, and understand any of it, or check out the news in Spanish. I personally don't know any gringos who do that. And even gringos and expats who speak pretty good Spanish, they don't go on Spanish language social media sites. It's too much work. It's too much work to watch Spanish language TV or local news, too. And you'd think all the gringos who hook up with Latinas, marry them or have long-term relationships with them, and vice versa, that they'd have their ear to the ground and know some of what's happening, and even the dirt that's happening in the local communities. But they don't, though their Latina girlfriend or Latino boyfriend sure does. But that stuff, unless it affects them personally, is not a topic of interest. The fact is, and this is kind of sad, all the gringo expats I know with Latina wives or girlfriends, they'll be somewhat glued to the news and media, but only the stuff that's coming out of the States. Yeah, you can't believe how many gringos and expats who've been down here years and years, they're totally focused on what's happening up in the States. The sports, the politics, the trends, And I'm always thinking, why the hell are you spending so much time on that shit when you don't even live there and it doesn't affect you anymore? You're living in a completely different country, in a completely different culture. And still you seem absolutely stuck on, sometimes even obsessed with, all the media coming out of the States. Sure, I get it. You got to know what's going on in the world, right? But how about spending just 10 minutes a week checking out the local media, what's happening at the grassroots level in the town or district you're living in? Fact is, I know gringos and expats who've been living in Guatemala for 5, even 10 years, and they don't even know the name of the mayor of the town they live in, much less the name of the president of the country. And it's 10 times worse with gringos and expats who live on the gringo tourist trail. They're living in an extreme bubble. So really, I don't know what to say. People don't change, right? Like Roberto says in his email, he's been living off the gringo tourist trail in Oaxaca, Mexico for something like 10 years. And he's just now finding out how corrupt the local Catholic Church is. I know, we all just assume that. We've heard the stories about priests and kids and all that, right? We assume the worst, right? But not our local priest or our nuns. Nah, not them. Though the question always remains, when you talk to people up in the States, one of the reasons they'll often give as to why they'll never put a plan B into effect for themselves is that down there in Latin America, everyone's so damn corrupt, how could you live that way? The politicians, the cops, the tax authorities, the immigration people, they're all on the take. They say, why would I want to live in a place like that? Meanwhile, every institution they deal with up in the States is totally corrupt too. The banks, the dickheads who run local, state, and federal government, lawyers, defense contractors, hospitals, the military, the VA, insurance companies, the pharmaceutical companies, they're all lying to you. And gouging the shit out of you too. Yeah, but let's not go to Latin America because they're all corrupt down there. The difference is up by you, you've got mass corruption on an institutional scale. Down here in Latin America, it's one-on-one. You get pulled over by a cop down here. You get a lecture for speeding or not having your papers in order. You pay the guy $20 and you're gone. In the States, you get pulled over by a cop for speeding or making an illegal turn. You get a little lecture and you pay the state $100, $200, even $500. The question is, which do you prefer? Oh, and look, if you own a house in the States, let's say it's worth $200,000. You're paying $5 or $10 grand a year in property taxes, right? What do you get for it? Nothing. Meanwhile, down here in Latin America, if you own a house that's worth, let's say, $200,000, your property taxes may be a tenth of that, $500 or $1,000 a year, often much less. And what do you get for that? Nothing. So again, I ask you, what would you prefer? Paying $5 or $10 grand a year to your state and getting nothing in return, or paying $500 to $1,000 to your local Latino municipality for nothing in return? Oh, and up in the States, let's say you're making $50 to $100, maybe even $150,000 a year. That'll put you in a 50 to 60% tax bracket when you add up all the taxes, licenses, and government fees. Meanwhile, down here in Latin America, no matter what you make, no matter what your income, you'll almost never pay more than 10% in taxes. And when you find gringos and expats who say they do pay more, well, that's because they don't have the right lawyer or accountant. Fact is, I know many, many gringos making tons of money down here. They pay zero taxes. It's all legal, too, because in Latin America, you pay no taxes on your worldwide income, like you must do if you're a U.S. resident. In other words, let's say you're living in Guatemala and have an internet business, and all your clients are online, and all English speakers from other countries like the U.S., Canada, Europe, well, guess what? You pay no tax on any of that income. But wait a minute, you say, if you're a gringo U.S. citizen, you got to report it back to the IRS every year in the States and pay taxes on it, right? The U.S. taxes your worldwide income. But down here, if you have half a brain, you have a lawyer set up an S.A. corporation for you. Well, that corporation will pay no taxes. So then how do you get paid? How do you get your money out of the corporation? Well, you have your lawyer set it up so that you're an employee of that corporation with a very nominal salary, which you will have to report back to the States and pay taxes on. Are you seeing the value of this? Are you getting it? You set your own taxable salary. In other words, if your business takes off, you let your corporation get rich because it pays no taxes. Meanwhile, on paper, you're just a low-paid employee in a very low tax bracket. Perfectly legal, too. Nope, the IRS does not like that, but it's perfectly legal. So then, what about all that money that's accumulating in that SA corporation of yours? Well, your corporation can buy houses and cars, land, and other businesses too. Not in your name, of course, because you'd be taxed on it, but in the corporate name. That's what the big boys do, you know. Obama, Bush, Biden, Soros, Bill Gates, Jamie Dimon, Nancy Pelosi, practically all those sociopathic dickhead billionaires and multimillionaires. It's perfectly legal, and you can do it too. Of course, on a much, 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 much smaller scale. But you knew that already, right? Yeah, yeah, I know. I digressed, as usual. Well, what were we talking about? Oh, Roberto was asking if the same kind of corruption he pointed out there in Oaxaca, Mexico, with the Catholic Church and all, with the cops and the officials shaking down illegal migrants too. He's wondering if we're seeing that happen in Guatemala. Well, all I can say is I haven't witnessed it or seen it personally. Though, as is with everything in Guatemala, all of that kind of corruption, including the narco stuff, is ratcheted way down as compared to Mexico. Oh, and there's so many bad things that happen in Mexico you just don't see in Guatemala. Like, for example, you don't see decapitated bodies hanging from bridges, like you see almost every day in northern Mexico. You don't hear about kidnappings or groups of school kids just disappearing. And they don't find unmarked mass grave sites. And the cops in Guatemala, they're lard-assed softies compared to the cops in Mexico. Sure, occasionally they'll try to shake it down for $20 at a traffic stop, but they won't, as I've heard from my own gringo friends, in Mexico, walk you over to an ATM and make you take out a couple $100 in cash. And the cops in Guatemala won't, or don't have the capacity, like they do in Mexico, to call ahead to a cop friend farther down the road in the next state or department, giving them your plate number and telling them to go ahead and pull you over because you're good for a $100 or $200 bribe. That kind of stuff just does not happen in Guatemala. I've never heard about it, and I've never even heard a rumor of it. But in Mexico, it's not just a rumor. I personally know people who've had that happen to them. In fact, that's exactly what happened to Bitcoin Dan when he first came down some years ago. He kept getting stopped over and over on his way down through Mexico. And in Guatemala, he didn't get stopped once. But as far as the Catholic Church and the charities that are supposedly helping those illegals as they pass through Guatemala, I suspect there's just as much hanky-panky and thievery going on as in Mexico. I don't trust any of those organized religions. Or those do-gooder NGOs, especially those do-gooder NGOs. I can tell you NGO stories that will sicken you, and if this show goes on long enough, I will. Oh, and if you don't know what NGOs are, those are called ONGs here in Latin America. Those are non-governmental organizations that are tax-exempt up in the U.S., in other words, in the States, you can incorporate as a nonprofit NGO, do-gooder, and state as your mission, you're doing charity work in some shithole country somewhere. Then you can collect dough and care packages and distribute them, and all the money you make or that's donated to you is tax-free. After all, you're a registered charity, right? Building solar outhouses for Jesus. Oh, but the way those NGOs work is, you see, the top dogs, the administrators. They fly first class, stay at four-star hotels, drink fine wine, undiluted, and make six-figure salaries. Which is why I never, ever give money to charitable organizations. The bigger they are, the more corrupt they are, too. Now, if you're the generous type, I always recommend you read the book called Toxic Charity. It's the book charities don't want you to read. It's the bestseller you never heard of, and for a reason. It's like that book, The Real Anthony Fauci by RFK. Also a huge bestseller that never gets mentioned in the New York Times or in lame street media. But if you want that book, Toxic Charity, or that RFK book, The Real Anthony Fauci, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com, and I'll send you a copy. For nothing, for informational purposes only. All right, staying on this immigration theme. So hey, you want to get really un-PC here? Piss off more than a few people? Well, then I should read this email because it ties right in. By the way, I just got this yesterday. Starts, Johnny, another Dave here. Another Dave. I'm soon to be going the right way down a wrong way street. You get my meaning? Why am I leaving the U.S. and why might I say I'll be going the right way down a wrong way street? Well, when you allow unlimited, uneducated, violent adult men from failed nations into your country, it stands to reason they'll be taking over and destroying your country eventually. It also stands to reason that the male offspring of these illegal alien men will only follow in the footsteps of their fathers, whether the children are legal American citizens or not. The common wisdom, Johnny, is that parents set the example for their kids to get educated. I know it was a common theme around my house ever since I can remember. My parents pushed me to get educated. any book I wanted, any educational thing I was interested in. They weren't rich by any means, but they'd make it happen. And if any mush-brained politician thinks illegal aliens on our country will impress those kinds of ideals on their kids, they're dreaming. When politicians allow or let in the hordes of illegals, what part of, quote, they won't assimilate, unquote, is not being understood by the powers that be? Is it just foolish optimism on their part, or are they thinking about a big, simple-minded block of future voters? Ask yourself this question. Do politicians really think that uneducated masses from shithole countries will become like us? When has that ever happened? It took 100 years for the Irish, the Jewish, and the Italians to assimilate completely. And they were white, Caucasian Europeans. And it still took them 100 years. And they were completely intact families with strong religious values. And still, I repeat, it took them 100 years to assimilate. And by assimilating, I mean really assimilating, where no one even questions they're not 100% American. Assimilation sounds so simple. Cold, hard, and simple. You learn the language and assimilate to the host culture, period. But illegal immigrants, the millions of them, end up in barrios and slums where they create microcosms of the failed neighborhoods where they came from. Many are just unwilling to assimilate. They don't want to learn the language. If one is unwilling to assimilate or unable to learn the language correctly, it's simple biology. If you continually feed off the host, you disable or kill it. If you continuously feed off the riches of your host country, it becomes a shithole country like the one you left. When you move to a new country, you must have a sense of loyalty and responsibility to that new country. It must be number one. That doesn't mean erase the country you left out of your mind. Just put it way, way, way on the back burner. But somehow, with illegal immigrants, that does not happen. A simple question, Johnny. When you're driving around a big city in the United States, in which neighborhoods do you see the most junk, the most disorder, most stray dogs, hear the most noise, and see the most litter? Is it so hard to spend 30 minutes a week to make your yard not look like a garbage dump? Is assimilation a woke and dirty word? It must be. Then Dave says, the Bible warns that the sins of a father will be visited on the next generation, even up to 7 generations. Seems as if the U.S. and Europe are fulfilling that prophecy. And for people who think non-English-speaking immigrants of the world will certainly be reading these comments and then take the appropriate steps to correct their behavior, maybe clean up their yards out of embarrassment and shame, if you believe that, you ought to move to San Francisco and pitch a tent. Then Dave says, multiculturalism only works when it's among law-abiding citizens and guests. The key word here is law-abiding. And what's the very first thing immigrants coming up from Mexico do? They break the law by trespassing and entering illegally. That's 2 offenses before they even take another step. So much for law-abiding. Yet the border remains wide open. When someone gets elected to U.S. Congress, they must certainly pass out a wonderful pair of rose-colored spectacles on day one. As usual, he says, leftists fundamentally misunderstand human nature with disastrous results they never learn from. Then he goes on to say, not long ago, Mexican President Andrés López Obrador said that Mexico is safer than the U.S. and it's economically very sound. Well, if that's true, every Mexican on his way to the States or in the States right now should return to his safe and economically solid country. But the truth is, Mexican politicians want the poor and sweaty masses to go to the States since Mexico depends a great deal on the remesas. They want ever more of their people to go to the U.S., so they send back even more remesas, which is the lifeblood of the Mexican economy. Who are these Mexican politicians trying to kid? They're just pissed off. There's a logjam of poor non-Mexicans stuck there in Mexico, coming up from south of the border, coming from Guatemala, Honduras, Panama, Venezuela, etc. There's a huge contingent, a bottleneck, of those guys stuck in Mexico, broke and destitute. That's what happens when you get shaken down by the narcos, the coyotes, and the cops. Then Dave, in his article, sends me a link to an AP article that just came out yesterday. The title is Drug Cartel Turf Battles Cut Off Towns in Southern Mexico State of Chiapas, near the Guatemala border. Let me just give you the highlights here. It says, President Andres Lopez Obrador of Mexico said the cartels have cut off electrical power in some towns and have forbidden government workers from coming in to fix the power lines. The article says it's happening because two cartels are fighting for control of the drug smuggling routes that lead from southern Mexico to Central America. It says the local Roman Catholic diocese said in a statement over the weekend that the cartels were practicing forced recruitment among the local residents and had taken over their territory, blocking roads and causing shortages of basic goods. It says President Obrador also appeared to lend credence to the videos posted over the weekend showing residents applauding about 20 pickup trucks full of armed Sinaloa cartel gunmen as they entered the Chiapas town. President Obrador said of the video, on one side of the highway, the people are apparently welcoming them, welcoming the truckloads of narcos entering the town. Apparently, they do so in parts of the country because cartels give the locals food packages. Oh, and by the way, it says cartels are known for setting up roadblocks in the area and stopping cars, just in case you were thinking about driving down from Texas. However, do remember Mexican President López Obrador's famous last words. Mexico is safer than the U.S. and economically very sound. So, Johnny, in conclusion, those are some of the reasons why I'm leaving the U.S. and why you might say pretty much I'm leaving to go the right way down a wrong-way street, since all the traffic is in the other direction, namely northbound. Needless to say, I'll be bypassing Mexico, going farther south, either Guatemala or El Salvador. Anyhow, Johnny, I've had it. I hope I'm not sounding too dire. Signed, another Dave. All right, thanks for that, another Dave. As the saying goes, another Dave, another dollar. You know, Dave, I've often wondered about that remisa thing. I've always wondered if any gringos or expats living in Latin America are sending remisas back to their pole families up in the States. You know, sort of remisas in reverse. Well, I can tell you for sure expat Eddie does. He sends remisas back to his mother in Texas, but still, she won't leave that trailer court. Can you believe it? She's a rich old lady living in the trailer court, but that's where all her coffee clutch buddies are. Got the nicest double wide in the neighborhood, though. Beautiful garden, too. Eddie says she's even got a gardener. Imagine that. Probably the only lady with a trailer in the world that's got her own gardener. Cash-only Latino gardener, too. How do you like them apples?
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.